Hello, everyone!
Hello!
Wow!
Wow, wow, wow. Well, well, well.
Welcome back to...
The Show.
Gosh, we've not said that in a while.
We really haven't. So, yeah, really, really indeed welcome back. I mean, it's been a month, really, hasn't it?
There's a fine, fine line between a lover... I don't know why I sang that. I thought that was about a long time.
No.
It's about fine line.
That's fine line, not long time.
No.
No.
Okay.
Great start.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're back. Yeah, sorry for being so long.
Yeah, AFK, as the kids say.
Yeah.
I think.
We've
been busy.
We have been busy.
We've been super busy.
To be fair, we've been busy.
I mean, what's not happened? I mean, I've moved house.
You moved house.
Two of my flatmates got COVID.
They got COVID.
Auditions.
You had an audition for...
No.
No.
We're not talking about it.
Oh, sorry.
And
quite cool, though. He did very, 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 very well. He did as well as you can do, basically.
Without getting it. you've been writing, like, hardcore.
I have
been
writing.
You've been writing. You've been writing a lot.
Yes.
Well, nothing
I
salacious.
I was a lot. Mm. And then I did have 2 weeks of...
Yeah, but that we needed it, man.
We did.
It's been a wild ride.
Because we had a festival on.
We did.
And it went.
Yeah, we did that.
We did that. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's why we took a break.
Yeah, gosh, that really did take it out of us, didn't it?
That was a lot.
So yeah, it's been a bit of a mad one. And you know what? We tried a couple of times to kind of get this podcast out there.
Yeah.
But we just, every time we got round to it, we just felt like it wouldn't be the best it could be.
No.
And you deserve the best.
Yeah.
For putting up with us for 7 months. So we thought we'd give you the
today,
best.
Eventually today, we thought it wouldn't be the best either, but we thought we've got to just do it. So here we are.
We're back, baby.
Yes.
As James Acaster would say, we're back, baby.
So, okay. Ah! We've got a bit of we've got a show.
A show!
To look through.
We do.
Now, you know, I've almost forgotten how we do this.
Yeah, me too.
But I think I go, now this week's letter is...
Why?
Is that what we do? Or do I go,
yeah, no.
Now this week's letter is...
Why?
Oh no. Or do I go, now this week's letter is...
Why?
It's one of those. Yes, this week's letter. Oh god, I've got to speak. This week's letter is why.
It is.
And we have chosen the sort of well-known show.
Well-known. People do know it.
People know
of it. Certainly.
This week's show is called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
Indeed, he is. I don't know if you've ever seen or read anything to do with the Peanuts.
I remember there being a ball and someone holding a ball and someone going to kick a ball and then them moving out of the way. That was it. That's literally it. That's
okay.
All I know about this.
Great, yeah. So you never watched any Snoopy? You never read any Snoopy?
I had a giant Snoopy in my basement once, which cost £300.
Right.
We won at a raffle. And,
oh, wow.
We kept in the wrapping saying that we'd sell it on eBay and then it just sat there.
Is it still there?
I don't know.
Wow.
It's probably worth quite a lot.
Oh, well, we're going to be there in a couple of weeks.
We can check it out.
Yeah.
We can.
I haven't seen or read any Peanuts or Snoopy ever either.
No.
It's literally a world away from what
I... It's quite an American thing.
I think so. My dad, when we mentioned it to my dad, he knew it.
Did he?
Don't remember. He was like, oh, that Peanut stuff. Yeah, that is. It's a bit odd, that stuff.
Well, it's also old, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
50s, I think.
Yeah, it was big in the... Yeah.
50s it started. In fact, I think I'm right in saying this. It's the longest ever one storyline comic book ever because it ran from the 50s until 2000.
Yeah, so it used to be a comic and...
And TV show. It was a TV show. I think what it, the best
is
way
it
to...
Is it still a TV show?
I don't know. I don't think... Yeah, well, it's syndicated.
It's now like...
It's like... It's they as in... So it, lots of other TV shows, TV channels now show that show, but they don't make it. So it's syndicated to other channels now. Nice. And they play reruns. Apparently the holiday specials are run all the time still on like Hallmark Channel or whatever. Apple TV bought the rights. Last year.
I was going to say, they made... did they make like a 3D one?
I don't
like
know.
An anime.
Oh, that film!
Probably.
Oh, gosh, I didn't... I forgot about that, actually.
It's like Garfield, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it? I've never seen Garfield.
Well, that's like... That was another...
Another thing. The way I would describe it from my limited research is that actually it seems like a Rugrats for like the 60s.
Really?
Yeah, because they're all children who can talk like adults in the 90s.
Was it?
Mm.
Oh, I love the Rugrats.
Rugrats was great.
Good, good movie.
Which one?
The one where they get the car and there's like the dinosaur.
Paris.
Is that Paris? Mm. That was a great film. They're kind of creepy now. Have you seen the new one?
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
Why does technology always just leave them alone?
Just leave things alone. Animation. It's so much sweeter.
Yeah. Well, it's not live action, is it?
Animation. You know what I mean. It's a
Oh, it's a CGI.
Yeah, CGI-ish.
Animation. I see. Well, yeah, I would describe it as like a 50s version of the Rugrats, because it's just children who act and speak like adults,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's how I would describe it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, the good thing is, you're going to give us some plot.
I am. It's a weird plot.
Well, it's nothing a series happens, of vignettes, it does, really, yeah. isn't it?
Well, apparently, yeah. So I'm going to tell it to you, the listener, as if it's like vignettes, so you get the full experience.
Here we go. You're going to give us, we're going to give you 45 seconds to tell us the plot.
Mm.
3, 2, 1, go.
The show opens with everyone giving their opinions on Charlie Brown, calling him a good man. He decides to find out how he can really become a good person. He's in love with the little red-haired girl and decides to sit with her, but instead covers his head with a paper bag as he has no confidence. Lucy then tells Schroeder she wants to marry him. Snoopy is daydreaming about becoming a wild jungle beast. Linus daydreams a fantasy where everyone relaxes with blankets. Then Lucy wants to be a queen, and Sally gets a bad grade in class. Charlie tries to fly a kite and tries to give the little redhead girl a Valentine's Day card, but says Merry Christmas instead. Lucy then gives him advice for 5 cents. Schroeder makes everyone celebrate Beethoven's birthday. They then write a book report on Peter Rabbit. Snoopy daydreams he's fighting the Red Baron. Then Sally tells us about her philosophies on the world after her bad grade. Charlie writes to a pen pal about a baseball game in which he caused the team to lose. Lucy spreads fake news and facts, which annoys Charlie. Snoopy isn't fed, but is then fed. Charlie finds a little redhead girl's nibbled pencil, and he realises that she's just a human like us all, and he realises he's done a lot of things that make him happy that day. So the gang sing about happiness, and Charlie Brown realises that being a good person means trying your best.
That was 75 seconds.
Was it? Yeah, I did. Well, I coughed in. I did that laughy thing in the middle where I couldn't speak, which is a shame.
May I ask you a question?
You can.
The bit where she gives him 5 cents.
Yeah, mate. He gives her 5 cents.
Sorry, yeah. Is that philosophy?
No.
Oh.
Different song.
So what's her advice to him?
Her advice to him is that that really beautiful moment where she basically tells him, because he's really sad, because he loves this girl, but he doesn't have the confidence to speak to her, doesn't think that he's good enough for her. God. And so she sits there and tells him, you're good enough being you.
Ah, yes.
And then she says, there's a break in the music, and then she goes, that's 5 cents, please.
Oh, wow.
Because she's at the funfair pretending to be like a philosopher.
Yes. Very good.
I was going to say philosophizer, but it's just philosopher.
Pfizer's better. I've had my Pfizer's as well.
Have you?
Yeah, both.
Well done.
That's something else that's happened. I'm fully jabbed. Fully jabbed.
Fully jabbed, yeah.
Your jabs?
Long time ago.
How did you feel?
After the first one, I felt like death.
Yeah,
like, genuinely, really ill.
Yeah.
The second one, nothing at all. What did I have? AstraZeneca. I had the AZ.
The AZ, and I had the PZ.
Yeah. The AZ Pacey.
AZ Pacey, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I passed out, didn't I?
What?
I passed out 2 days after. Did one you? Day after? Yeah. At the football.
Oh, the football. God, this is so long ago. But we've had...
Have we?
We've done an episode since then.
What was I
know? We have.
Oh.
That was a long time ago. That was 29th of May.
Well.
We'll cut that out. So yeah, she gives really good advice. But that's the thing about this show, right? Is that actually, a lot of the advice that's being given during the show and the things that we're seeing them go through is actually very nice and very helpful and good messages.
Mm.
It's full of good messages.
Mm-hmm. I love how each vignette addresses like a new issue.
Mm.
And I think the messages are actually really, really good. And a lot of the stuff that we've been talking about on the podcast before, like the stuff I said about Gaston. Why are you laughing? It's true.
I know.
You know, I just think it's a really good message for adults and kids alike. Although I do find it quite weird how it's like almost adult humour with like a kid's show.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, who is it aimed at? Like, do you bring your kids along? I guess you do, because it's a kid's show. But also, maybe they're using, you know, the kids, maybe they're using that nostalgia and all the things that we learned as kids to turn it on our head, so that as adults we look into ourselves and ask ourselves the questions about what we actually, you know, hold as our values.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it, to be honest.
Thank you.
Because I there are moments where I was a bit like, it is a bit weird that you're watching a child ask another child, well, tell another child that they want to marry them. And then, but like, spend the show desperately trying to get them.
I got married when I was young.
Did you?
Her name was Laura Ann, and she used to dress up. I literally just remembering this. She's dressed up in a wedding dress, and we used to get pretend married down an aisle.
Wow, so maybe they've also hit the nail on the head with that then as well.
That's weird.
That is ingrained in us as children.
Is that weird?
A bit.
I didn't even think it was. Well, I didn't really have a say in the matter. I was sort of a puppet being told what to do.
Yeah, that is. It's not weird. I don't think it's. Well, it is a bit weird that you were ingrained to. But then actually, I'm now remembering being at school and there being a fake wedding at school.
Yeah, I don't think it was that strange.
No. Gosh, I had forgotten about that. I think Mohib and Georgia got married when we were like 6.
Mm.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So I take it back, actually. The fact that she wanted to get married to him in this was, again, as Tom said, making us look inside ourselves and looking at what our values are.
Mm-hmm.
Great point, that. Because that is exactly what I felt like this was doing.
Thanks. So the book's by John Gordon, which actually, of course, is not a real human being.
No, it's not.
It's a pseudonym.
A pseudonym.
So Clark Gesner, who wrote the music and the lyrics, he and the cast and the directors.
And like the production team.
Yeah.
And everyone.
They all got in a room and they kind of messed around with the lyrics, kind of messed around with the script, improvised, and basically devised this show. The show. And then I don't know why they chose to do a pseudonym, though.
Well, because I suppose it's easier than saying book by so on and 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 so on. It's just cooler to, like,
an amalgam. They all got paid a royalty.
Oh, I don't know. I think that would probably be something we wouldn't even be able to find out, even with the extensive knowledge of Google.
Because you think if they are all part of the pseudonym gets paid, then they should get paid.
Well, I agree with you. Maybe they set up
the credit.
Well, I hope they set up a big old bank account.
It's like a profit share.
It is. I hope so. Mm. I do hope so.
But Clark Gesner was kind of the parent of this.
Yeah.
He
was indeed. So he wasn't that big after all this. Like, he didn't do very much. He just kind of wrote lots of incidental music for like evening shows, chat shows, and although he was an actor himself and did like amateur stuff regionally. He was in 1776 apparently, and Lend Me a Tenor, which he did. He was an actor as well, so that's pretty cool, isn't it? And he's on the original cast album as Linus.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
That is cool. Yeah, well, you know, so he wrote it. He wrote some demos in the 60s, and then he was encouraged by a producer to, who was it?
Well, he couldn't get the rights, and then he sent it to the people who write Peanuts, the magazine, and they were like, yeah, you can have it.
Well, it was weird because he was encouraged to make it a musical by Arthur Whitelaw, who later went on to write Snoopy, the musical.
Oh, he wrote that?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So he told Gesner to make it.
And then went, I can do it better.
And then went and wrote Snoopy. Which is
Snoopy.
Yeah, but which is weird. This is why I got confused. Because there is a Snoopy musical. And there's this musical.
It's and almost like...
But I guess you've people... got Peter Pan, and then you've got the new Tinkerbell one, which was announced today. You know...
Well, you've got Phantom and Phantom.
What? The second one?
No. There's another Phantom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Written by Maury Esten.
Is that any good?
It's all right.
There's another Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah. It was just called Phantom by Maury Esten.
By who? Maury Esten.
Maury Esten. Also wrote Titanic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Death Takes a Holiday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can imagine that.
Mm. He wrote... The one song I know from it is Home. It's called Home. Every bloody show has a song called Home.
I think I've written a song called Home.
Yeah, everyone has. Mm. And that's pretty good, from what I remember. But yeah. So, you know, I understand your confusion. But yeah, it's weird for someone to have gone, oh, write this show, and then go, oh, I'm going to write this show now. That is weird. You're right.
I wonder what Gesner had to say. Because that is... They are literally in direct competition with each other, really.
Literally, yeah. And only one... I think Snoopy came out not long after. In the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, I thought Snoopy was... I thought this was Snoopy.
Mm. Oh, well, no.
But it's not.
No.
Sure, a good man, Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Because we're on Y. Shrek was S. Remember that? That was good.
It's time for this week's quiz. This week's quiz is called You're a Good Quizzer, Charlie Brown.
Oh, sorry.
Oh. You're right.
Yeah, no,
you're
fine. Nervous. Thank you. A bit.
I'm not.
I was trying to say, whilst that got caught in my throat, that, yeah, that must make me Charlie Brown.
Ah, yeah. Well, that would have been good if you didn't die halfway through saying it.
No, I know. Which is actually, you know, probably my comeuppance. What are the scores on Las Puertas?
Las Puertas. So, I believe the scores are, according to this...
Mm.
Hi, folks. We actually totally lost the scores when we were doing the podcast. So, here I am, Tom, just filling you in. We have a 35.5 from Getty and a 32 from Tom. Tom, once completely out of the race, now making a comeback, trying to take Getty from behind. Here we go. Getty.
Yeah.
How many songs are in the revised version's opening act?
In the opening act, you cheeky little sod.
Act one, sorry.
Act one, you cheeky sod. One. I counted all of them together because I thought that's what you would do.
I know,
sorry. Or you throw me a curveball. You cheeky booger.
I didn't want to count the whole thing.
Oh, how many is it? 8.
No. 14.
14.
It's quite a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
I've got 14 in my whole show.
Mm. That is a lot.
And they're all like full songs.
Yeah.
Because they're all vignettes.
But that's what I was about to say. I think because they were trying to recreate the comic book style into the show, you are going to have a song pretty much every scene, aren't you? Because characters developing...
How many songs has Hamilton got?
A lot.
Is it? It's like...
Like a lot.
20,
but that's,
20
that's
per,
all in song, isn't it?
20 per act.
Yeah. Maybe more, probably. Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Truly.
Incredible. I mean, Les Mis will also have...
Yeah.
Just, I mean, because it's endlessly song, isn't it? So that's just that.
Great. So yeah. Okay. You go. Your question.
Okay. Question number one for you, Tom. What is the name of Kristin Chenoweth's character in the 1999 Broadway revival, and who was that character replacing from the original book?
Is it Sally?
Mm-hmm.
And is it replacing Patty?
Boom!
Was it? Was that right?
Boom, boom,
was
boom.
Was that right?
Yeah.
Yes! Is that right?
Yeah.
I knew I read that. I was like, all I've got here is Karen Johnson Patty. That's all I've got.
Well, well done. Well done. Strong work. Strong researching.
Thank you.
Strong paying attention to detail.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you. You got the name. It's taken all series, but you're finally getting names.
Oh my god, it's happening. This has been great for my brain.
Good.
Brain
I'm
training
glad.
with Gideon Tom.
You are a tutor, so that's...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh no, look, all I had to do was turn the page. It would have told me. Oh, it wouldn't tell me who she replaced, though.
No.
That's funny. Well done. Well, you didn't even need to turn the page. Well done. Good job, bro.
Okay.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Mm-mm.
Thank you. Question two.
Yeah.
Question two.
Yeah.
Also, just, you know, she won a Tony for that.
She did win a Tony for that.
We should probably mention that.
We should.
That's pretty amazing she won a Tony for this.
I know.
Because it didn't really... Because it was off-Broadway, and then it kind of went to Broadway, and it had a very short life there.
It did.
So it's pretty amazing the revival.
And then it went to West End, then all toured a bit, then came back,
yeah,
and then went again. Then had a TV special, and then came back to Broadway.
It did well in the West End.
Sort of. And then even the Broadway revival that she won a Tony for, it was only there for, what's February to June? Four months, you know, it was 149 performances. It's not that much. And she won a Tony for it. So did Roger Bart.
Did she perform Philosophy at the Tonys?
She did.
That's rare. That's the one I know. I love that song.
Mm. But yeah, so it is quite impressive that they both won Tonys for it, to be honest. From such a short run. Must have been great.
Must have been.
Well, she is great. So, understandable, really.
Question two.
Yes.
Question two. Who wrote the additional songs for the Broadway version in 1999?
That would be a man I think you've worked with, Tom. Andrew Lipper.
Yes, it is Andrew Lipper. I've not worked with him.
I've been taught by him.
Taught by him.
Yeah, fair. But still, you have worked in the room with him.
And he's very cool.
Yeah. And it's very cool that he did this.
It is very cool that he did
this. Which I didn't know until he did this.
Right. I think it's very his...
It's his vibe. Yeah. It can be. Bits of it his vibe.
You look at like Adam's Family and stuff like that.
There are moments, aren't there?
Lyrically, I think it's quite up his street.
Yeah. Definitely.
Really nice guy.
That's good.
Very passionate and doesn't hold back and genuinely wants people to just smash it.
Great.
So, it's, yeah.
And that's his new philosophy.
That's his new philosophy.
Because he wrote that one.
Yes.
That was his song.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's very... he loves a good female song.
Mm, like he does, actually. Mm.
Yeah. Great. Nice.
Good stuff. Good
stuff. So, yeah, point for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I am sorry in advance for this question. Which symphonies are quoted by the composers during the song Beethoven Day?
Beethoven's Fifth.
Yes. Go on, son.
And
I'll give you half. I if you get both of these.
Is it another symphony or is it Moonlight Sonata?
Well, if it were that, I wouldn't have asked.
You would have said,
which symphonies quoted.
No, ignore that. Okay. Beethoven's Fifth and Beethoven's Twelfth. Seventh.
Sorry.
18th.
Yep, he only wrote 9, so.
Seventh. Ninth.
Yeah. But I'm not giving you that.
Beethoven's Ninth. Edit.
No.
I get it.
No, don't you dare edit that out.
Okay, I'm surprised I got the fifth.
But you get half a mark, 100%. Well done. Okay. And you were straight in with it. You knew.
Yeah.
But then who doesn't know? Da-da-da-dun. Da-da-da-dun. And what do they say? Beethoven Day. Beethoven Day.
What's the ninth?
Well, the bit that they quote is right at the end of Beethoven Day, and they quote the famous bit, the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth, which we all know. Da 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 da
da da da da da da da. Is that ninth?
Yeah.
How long is a symphony?
I can range.
Ballpark.
Ballpark? Well, what era are we talking?
Well, he only wrote
romantic era.
No, but he wrote nine.
He wrote nine.
So that's not a lot.
Nope. But they are like 40 minutes long.
There you go.
Upwards.
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah. But some can be shorter.
But the fifth is only I know the fifth.
Yeah,
but that's
the first movement.
That's like one bit of it.
That's the first movement of four, yeah. All symphonies have four movements. Well, okay, not all symphonies, don't shoot me. But in general, layman's terms, most, if not all. No,
so are there any...
Get myself very worked up here.
Are there any other moments from the fifth that we know?
That are famous? Not really.
Interesting.
Not really.
Why that one?
I mean, it's iconic, isn't it? and also because ETA ETA Hoffman, who's a very famous
Sonata? Is that a form of
what
song?
Okay, we're getting complicated here.
So I'm just interested, everyone. Sorry if you're bored.
So the sonata form is a structural form that music took in the classical era.
Right.
And the first movement of a symphony would often be in sonata form. that's when you go like theme A, theme B,
so
repeat.
So it's the first movement
blah, blah, blah,
of
blah,
Beethoven's
blah.
Fifth, a sonata.
No, it's not a sonata, it's in sonata form.
Right.
Now, a sonata is also a piece of music.
Wow.
Often for piano, but it's also in sonata form.
Okay.
But it's, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, well done, man. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I have to say, I did enjoy the quoting of them in that song. I think it was really cool to do that, to be honest. And the way they did it was actually pretty good. So I give kudos. Kudos to the writers there. So my final question.
Yes, it is. And it's quite... it's easy. It depends. You've probably got it written down. It's probably a fact you've got.
Mm-hmm.
When were the first ever demos, so the original demos...
I actually don't have that down.
Written. What year?
I would say... They were written in, just going off of an educated guess here, 19. Good start, right?
19. That is good. Although, actually, we're creeping into the, you know, it's not as close as it used to be.
What?
Well, the 1900s are getting further and further away.
That's how time works, yeah.
Yeah. When I scroll down to put my date of birth in now,
That is true.
I get
worried. Actually, that it does get, yeah. You're right.
There's people
that
are 18 who are like in, well, obviously.
2003.
Yeah.
That's horrendous.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't actually thought about that. But when you do have to scroll back to your, it is getting further away.
It's further and further away.
It's bleak.
Yeah, it is. Sorry, everyone.
I'm going to say 1964.
Oh, damn. So close.
Oh.
If you were one either side, I would have given it you a half.
Okay.
But you were too. It was 1966 when football came home. Funnily enough, the last time it came home. Mm.
Well, damn, that's actually a really quick turnaround then. That was only a year before the Off-Broadway start. That's really quick turnaround.
Yeah, Off-Broadway 1967, yeah.
That's why I kind of went for a few years before, because I thought, actually, things don't move that quickly in theatre.
No. By the way, also, the Off-Broadway ran for 1,597 performances.
Yeah, that's a long time.
So it ran for 4 years almost.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Long time. People liked it.
Which is why I'm like...
But then
like,
Peanuts would have been big then.
But then it went to Broadway and it closed after like 26 days.
And I saw this as a
two performances.
Part of the review for the revival was very much like taking a small thing and trying to make it this grand thing on Broadway. It actually just didn't work.
Yeah.
Because when you think about something that's so small and quite like intimate
quirky,
taking that and putting it on a massive stage, because Broadway stages are massive, you know, it would have probably been a bit weird.
This is so random.
Mm.
Little Shop of Horrors, did that go to Broadway or did it stay off Broadway initially?
It went to Broadway.
It did.
But it was off Broadway first, yeah.
Yeah. Because they ran the theatre, didn't they? Howard Ashman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Menken did, but I know Ashman.
Ashman definitely did, yeah.
Okay.
So this is your final question.
Oh, there's more.
Well, yeah, you've got one more question left. Tom.
Yes?
For your final question.
Hi there.
How many people were in the band for the 1999 Broadway revival?
Oh, I don't know that. Thinking about the music. 8.
Close.
What was it?
5.
Oh.
Only 5.
See, I thought it might be 5, but then I thought...
That's crazy. You've been on Broadway. You're on Broadway, and you only have 5 people playing.
That's what I mean. That's why I thought...
6 or 5.
I was going to say 4.
Yeah.
Because it's not, there's not a lot going on musically, but I thought
there isn't.
Maybe that is just deceptive.
So do you want to hear what they played? They played piano, who covered keyboard, synth, and kazoo.
Mm-hmm.
The bass... who played electric and acoustic bass, a tenor recorder, and kazoo. One woodwind player who played piccolo, flute, clarinet, soprano, alto sax, soprano recorder, and kazoo.
Wow.
One violinist who also played viola, alto recorder, kazoo, and tambourine. And a drummer who also played a bit of percussion, vibraphone, bells, triangle, timpani, and xylophone, which was intended to be played on a synthesizer rather than having the actual percussion instruments. Crazy times in that band.
Well, so I thought that's why I thought it was more than than
five.
I was going to say four initially. Mm.
Mad. That is so few. It would have been a crazy time in that band, but I bet.
How many are in the Come From Away? That's about five, isn't it?
I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't know, but that's folky music, isn't it? It's kind of understood to be quite.
They really earned their money in that band, didn't they?
Which one?
This one.
My band.
Your band. You were there, don't you remember? Yeah, this band.
They did. They did. They really did.
Favorite song and why?
So, the music.
The music, the most important part of a musical. Where does it go? Well, they song spot and then they decide where to put it.
Bit of Mulan there from Tom.
Yeah, I didn't know where. Somewhere.
So, what's your favorite song?
My favorite song is philosophy.
It's not called that.
What?
It's called My New Philosophy.
Okay, yes, I know that.
Okay,
New Philosophy. Yeah.
Right, take it then.
No.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Okay.
Abridged. No, My New Philosophy. I just think it's really funny. I remember the first time I saw it when it was on at the Tony Awards, and I thought it was quite charming. I think Kristen Chenoweth. She really does bring that thing to life.
She does.
She's very good at it. And her voice is so perfect for it.
It is so
I can't hear it without hearing her do it.
No.
So, yeah. Also, her little... She's British. She's great.
She's great so good
at being a cartoon.
Yeah.
She's very
That's
good at
a
that.
Very good point,
That's probably
actually.
Why she won the Tony as well.
That is so true.
She was brilliant.
And actually, I was going to say the same thing about Roger Bart playing Snoopy. You can hear it, even when you listen to the soundtrack, you can hear them being cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And that is actually something that's really difficult to get across when you're real people. Not only when you're real people, but when you're real adults playing children and a dog. Do you know what I mean? So she does do that very well. And you're right, I can't hear it without hearing her do it. You know, it's iconic, isn't it, that song?
But yeah, I just like the way it builds. Builds and builds and builds, but also kind of doesn't build, kind of stays on a level.
Well, because she's telling, you a
well,
thing.
For her, every time, this is why the music stays the same, because for her, every time it's new, so it doesn't build, because every new verse and every chorus
is a new philosophy. Yeah.
So she's not going to build.
No.
She's doing it for the first time in her head.
Yeah. So, which is something children do.
Yeah.
So it paints the picture very well.
That's great.
It? Yeah, no, I like it. And I also just like the style of the music in that one as well. It's like very cheeky, very playful, quite cabaret-like. You know, that kind of subtle wink / nod you're getting every time.
Very, you know, Andrew Lipper.
Yeah, yeah, it's just smart. It's quite clever writing. But he also does very well to make sure that his style doesn't impede on the style that already existed in the show, to be honest. Like, it doesn't stick out.
Yeah, but that's what I meant by his style fits the show anyway, I think.
Yeah, but also he's just such a good composer that he knows not to get in the way.
Yes.
You know, you're just listening to a show by Clark Gesner. Or Gesner, actually. Probably Gesner. I don't know.
Oh, I can say Gesner.
I know you have, so I just thought maybe it's Gesner. I don't know. But yeah, he's not, you know, you're not listening to a show by a certain composer, in this case, Clark Gesner, and then you're suddenly going, oh, that song doesn't fit.
No,
you're going great.
You're right. That's brilliant. It's also what Stars and Drew did very well with
Mary Poppins.
Sixpence.
Oh, and half a sixpence.
Half Mary Poppins.
And half a Mary Poppins.
Half a Mary Poppins. I'd love to see that.
Yeah. What would be different? Cockneys and tap dancing.
She comes. They try and put her out the bag, and it's just half her body. Gosh, like, oh, here she comes. Wow. How does she fit in there? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Where are her legs? They just came off.
God, that's quite dark, really.
What's your favourite song, Geddy?
Well, obviously, to be fair, my new philosophy was up there for me. But actually, I kind of got taken away with supper time.
Supper time, supper time.
And I don't know why. Because, well, I do know why. I just think it's such a well-written song to perfectly encapsulate what a dog will be feeling when they want to be fed and then suddenly think they're not being fed and then suddenly know the food's there. Mm. I think it does a really good job because I don't really, it's really hard to kind of articulate that because we're not dogs. But it's kind of what you see when you see a dog.
Yeah.
That is kind of, that song is kind of what I think they're going through. Because at the beginning, he has that really seductive jazz bar scatty moment, which is probably what a dog's doing in their head. Kind of, I don't know. They can't scat, but you know what I mean? They're kind of edging towards the food in their head. And then it goes through like a full-on jazz number and then ends in this gospel, you know, happy clappy, ah, it's supper time, you know what I mean? And it's just like that build of excitement that they get, and it's really erratic. And then at the end, you just get the owner going, shut up, and just eat. I feel like that's probably what dogs do, and I think that's really well written. So, well,
yeah, done. Again, another example of a very strange thing to write about.
Yeah, to be honest. Yeah.
So bizarre.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the only, that is the thing about this show that doesn't quite grab me, I suppose, is, and we kind of alluded to it earlier, but it's very much comes to light in the music. I don't know who this show is aimed at, really, because it's like a lot of the songs, a lot of the music are quite plain. They aren't really that fun and exciting. There's not real, like,
it's got
emotion.
Band of Five as well.
Yeah, and it's not really emotionally grabbing at any point. The end song is Happiness is Lovely. That was up there for me as well. Happiness is actually really cute and a really lovely song. And is definitely up there for me in terms of one of the best songs. But it's not, like, deep, deep. It's very plain, surface level, kind of nice. And then a lot of the songs are really cheeky and kid-like, but then it's not aimed at children. It's not like a children's show. And then you're watching adults acting like children. Acting as children, I should say.
Well, I think it's very...
Do it?
It's just very of its time, isn't it?
But also, like, there are other shows in the 60s that were being written very differently. It's just more like...
Yeah, but I don't think they wrote anyone, maybe. Like, if they were just meant to be original songs, because if he was convinced to turn it into a show... Maybe that's where the problem lies, because he was just writing demos for the cartoons.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't really know what the song... You're right, though. Like, who was he writing the songs for?
Yeah.
I guess for the cartoon, in the hope that maybe they put them in there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's not really any direction.
In that case, it would be for the kids, right?
Well, exactly.
Well, was it for kids?
Yeah, the Peanuts was for children, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't really know, because the musical isn't like a kid's show. But then it kind of is a kid's show, because they are kids. But then there'll be loads of adults watching it, because they grew up with Peanuts.
Yeah, but that's not...
So, no, I know. Not, I know. I know.
That's just a case of time passing. And
no, sure, but...
being able to change it.
I just found that really strange. I didn't feel like there was... I don't really know what the musical's trying to be. But that's part of it, I guess, trying to do the vignettes thing and having all these things happen in like the comic book and everything like that. But I'm just not sure what it was trying to be.
Well, everyone.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well. That was the show. I forgot what we were called then.
I know. I saw it in your eyes.
That was the show. We're back. We're sorry we've been away. We have got stuff in the pipeline, which we are going to get together. And we're going to try and... Obviously, we're coming to the end of the series. But we are going to try and get some exciting things together.
For the end of the year.
During the autumn months.
Yes.
Into the winter.
Indeed.
We do hope that we do a new series. I think, I mean, we are. We are going to.
Yeah, you made that sound like we won't. I mean, we definitely are.
We definitely are. Yeah, we definitely are.
I don't know why Tom sounds so unsure
about
this.
No,
we definitely are going to bring
you
another thing. Yeah. You sound very... You're making it sound as if you're unsure that... Just give me a second.
Just give me a second series. No, we are going to do one. So look out for that. Obviously, we're going to record.
But we should say that series isn't going to come to your ears until...
Coming in your ears.
Cholly FM, coming in your ears. Yeah, we won't be coming in your ears until January again.
Yeah, so we're going to take some time off. But that's why we're going to focus on things in autumn, try and get some stuff together for you.
Yeah.
Well, that is, we sort of have an idea. We'll announce it when it's all confirmed.
Indeed.
Until then, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, show_show_pod. Email us showshowpod@gmail.com. Any thoughts, any ideas, any musicals you'd like us to talk about next series, and also just what you thought about the show.
Yeah, just tell us what you thought about this series, what you think that we could bring you next series, things that you might want to hear that we don't normally do. Please do let us know. We'd love to just make our content the best it can be for you guys listening. And in the meantime, please do leave us reviews. Wherever you get your podcasts, 5 stars would be preferable. And please do tell everyone you know, especially those who like musicals, because they probably like this podcast.
Yeah, word of mouth really is the best way to help us out. So please do share, but just like tell your mates and say, this is really good.
Yeah.
These guys are incredible. They're honestly the best podcasters I've ever listened to. I'm never going to listen to any other podcasts ever again. In fact, I'm going to go back to the start and listen through this, through the whole of autumn, just to get my kicks.
Yeah.
Or you could just say, you know, it's all right.
Yeah. Either way, it would help us. So.
Well, I guess for the penultimate time...
For series one.
I've been Tom.
And I've been Geddy.
And that was
You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown.
That's my new philosophy.
Goodbye.